Good morning, church. Welcome on this wonderful Sunday as we get the opportunity to worship and praise God today. Thank you all for joining us. It is great to gather and worship God today. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget this Wednesday we have a Food on the Fly coming up from 4:30 to 6. And trustees are following at 6:30. I encourage those of you that are looking to get your meals to come closer to 4:30 rather than 6. We've been doing very well with our sales right now, and we want to thank everybody for participating, and it's just great to see everybody coming out for those. Another important announcement is don't forget next week our service is going to be in the front parking lot at 7:30 on Saturday, August 15th. As we celebrate our confirmation students who finally get a chance to confirm their faith, thank you for their patience. They've waited three different Sundays we've had to cancel because of COVID and all these other things, so they finally get the opportunity to celebrate their faith with this unique service. And we're also going to get to dedicate our new cross, which is very beautiful, and the joint board really felt it would be nice for all of you to be able to see it in the moonlight. So this service will be in place of our Sunday worship service. So don't show up on Sunday, August 16th at 10:30, or you might have a personal prayer service you could have with yourself, but there will be nobody in the building. As far as that service, bring your mask, even though it's outdoors, and something comfortable to sit in, a long chair. We can have some of these chairs available, but we want to make sure that you have something comfortable that you want to sit in. So if you have a lawn chair for that service, go ahead and use one of those. Continue to practice social distancing. Not a whole lot of our guidelines change. Yes, we are outdoor. There is less risk to that, but because of the amount of people, we want to make sure we keep our precautions high. Please park on the fellowship hall side of the parking lot that day, since we'll be setting up worship there. Also, we will have communion elements for you. I will bring those. We'll put them in a Ziploc bag and hand them out to your family individually. We feel that'll work best. And just take an opportunity to worship and praise God. And also, the other big thing, if you look at the forecast for next week, a lot of storm clouds in our midst for next week. If we were for some reason rained out, we would just worship inside that night. And we would find our way. 2020 is the year of flexibility, so we'd find a way to worship inside. I'd even encourage, if your family feels comfortable and would enjoy it, you could take one of the hillsides and put a blanket down for the worship service. Just make sure you distance yourself out appropriately. Let's see. Also, Pastor John will be starting a Hilltoppers prayer group on Monday, August 31st, from 10 to 11:30 on the top of Dease Hill in Dover, Ohio. It will be a time of prayer, and there will be a portable labyrinth, which you can actually walk. A pack-your-own lunch is available. I'll send more information out on that in my weekly email. And if you can notice, we have one refrigerator. I'm still looking for a good home. So if you are interested in that, please let us or anyone on the joint board know. We'd like to get rid of that as soon as possible. If we can find a home in need, that would be our ideal goal. But if not, we have other means to get rid of it as well. Also, I believe this is the last Sunday to get in touch with Jackie about ordering any daily text. We have until August 13th online to get any pre-order discounts, but we as a church need to get them in. You can put those on the offering plate and just put a memo line for the daily text. Let's see. And then CEC this week will be sending out a survey for Sunday school options. In the coming weeks, we'll be sending out a survey about Sunday school options in the fall. We're leaning not towards in-person at this time, but we're trying to see if there are any formats that'll work best for families. And so one of the things we're considering is possibly doing like an 8:30 to 9:30 Zoom session. That could either be for individual Sunday school classes or for entire families. And so your response to that survey is going to make sure whatever we offer can serve the most number of people in the best way. Because we want to make sure, we know that Sunday school can't be the way it's always been done, but we do want to make sure that there's something available, especially for our kids at this time. And also, our last announcement, don't forget about our rummage sale at the end of the month, August 29th, one day. Everything must go. It's a free will donation, so I can guarantee you, you can get a good price. If you don't, it's your own fault because you didn't set up a good enough price for yourself. Everything must go. We got to get rid of it. So please, any help you can give to that or any customers, service you can do, that would be wonderful as well. Let us take a deep second. Let us stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. Morning. You may be seated. Our watchword for the week comes from Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Amen. Wonderful start to worship. Today, it gives me our privilege to share our confirmation student credos. This is always one of my favorite Sundays because we get to see where our confirmation students have gone on their faith journey and what that's been like for them. Our three students this year are Ryan Castor, Kara Rossi, and Charlotte Menapace, and all three of them have decided to confirm their faith next week. And I take a special pride in this class because they've worked very hard despite all the obstacles we've had this year. All three of them made sure they submitted a credo. So usually I don't assign homework in my classroom, but because of what happened, they went the extra mile and they made sure to complete these. And all of them did a very serious, thoughtful, and wonderful job. And I also want to give a special thanks to Denny and Paula because this is a week I usually send them like 40 slides and say, "Hey, do what you can with this," and they find a way to make it work. So take some time and reflection and read some of the credos that our students have read. What's that? What, for the people online? applause. As you can see, all of our students showed a spiritual depth and a spiritual maturity that will make us proud to welcome them as adult members of our church. And we are so grateful for them. And we will celebrate next week in the parking lot what a wonderful contribution they are to our church. Let's now transition to a time of prayer and reflection. As we continue to do our prayer concerns, for those of us watching us online right now, once again, I'll share a few concerns that I can share that are public knowledge, and then we'll take some reflection time for people who are personally here that can see the prayers of the people that we've sent out this week, and then those of you that are online can listen to Angie's beautiful background music, and those of you that have any prayer concerns that you want to share, now is a good time to write them down on your whiteboard, and after a time of reflection, I'll give you the opportunity to share those as well. In our prayers this week, we remember the life of Fred Dupreau. He passed away about 2 weeks ago. He was a good friend of Jim and Linda Karcher and of Angie and Doug Miller, was very active in his community. We offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to his family and friends. And then a prayer of joy that I want to share with you as well. My best friends Brian and Alyssa had a baby on Monday night. Corbin John Nelson came into this world. Very excited. Mom and Dad are doing well. Corbin was born Monday, and he had a baseball in his left hand on Tuesday, so I'm very happy that Dad's already following the protocol. I'm very, very excited for them. And then we want to wish a birthday to somebody who couldn't physically be here, but may be online watching, Miss Becky Schanhauer. We want to wish her a happy birthday. Tim celebrated a birthday this week as well. So much to be thankful for and grateful for. So let us take some time in reflection and remember all the wonderful things that God is doing in our midst. Does anybody else have any other prayer concerns they would like to share today? We uplift that in prayer, Amy. That's good news. All right, let us take some time for prayer and reflection. Gracious God, we come before you today, and we just want to say thank you for gathering us as the body of Christ, for the ability to worship together when for months it seemed like it would be so long until we would be able to gather again. But today we get to share the same room, the same Spirit of God, and the same love pouring out from us. Please be with those who cannot physically be present with us. Gracious God, help us to reach out to them. Help us to remind them that they are an important part of God's community, and that each one of us have a calling and an opportunity. And as we uplifted our prayer concerns, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, those who are struggling, those who are struggling to find you, God. Help them to know you are a God who seeks, a God who is willing to meet us where we are, and we can find pleasure in that, knowing that our God comes to us. And gracious God, we give you thanks for signs of new life in our world, for babies being born, for flowers blooming, for reminders that there can be beauty, in the midst of darkness. So as we go forth our lives and weeks, and we listen to the stories of your miracles today, help us to look for opportunities where we can serve the kingdom of God, where we can build your kingdom on this earth, right now, in this day. Every single day, as long as we have an heartbeat, we have an opportunity to serve our loving and gracious God. In your name we pray. Amen. It's at this time we turn our attention to our offering. Once again, we are not physically passing an offering plate around, but we do have one in the back if you are leaving and you do have an offering with you at this time and would like to drop it off. Now would be a great time to after the worship service would be a great time to do that. We also have a special gift for our offering song. Becky Canfield and Jacob Cannon were nice enough to record this wonderful hymn, one of my favorites, My Faith Looks Trustingly. So we get a chance to listen to them and reflect and pray on the power that our faith has when we trust in God. Let's give now of our tithes, offerings, and gifts.
merciful Savior, help us to remember that you are the one that calms the storm. Help us to give generously as a reminder to live our lives by faith and not by fear. Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament scripture comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then the gospel scripture comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Amen. We now turn our hearts and our minds to our children's chat. So kids, before we break down our children's chat, I forgot to mention in my announcements that I printed off, this week the CEC started printing off copies of your children's bulletin, and they put them in your little bags. So if you ever want to use those in the middle of the worship service, those will now be in your bags, just so you know. If you want to do like the crossword puzzle and all those things that Carolyn has been sending out, we encourage you to participate in them. So what we're going to do today is we're going to play one of my favorite old games. And it's good since we all have whiteboards and we like to write today. We have that opportunity. We're going to play Hangman. You like Hangman? Give me a thumbs up if you like Hangman. All right. So what we're going to do is your pastor is one of the worst artists that ever lived. He's an okay writer, but he's not much of an artist. So he's hoping you figure this out fairly quickly so he doesn't have to draw himself who you're going to try to rescue today. So what we're going to start with is you have four words. The first word is five letters. The second word is five letters. The third word is two. And the last one is five as well. So we're going to go around, and each of you is going to get a chance to put a letter on your board to guess. And you got to pay attention to what letters people are guessing. So let's see. We'll give the first guess. So you got a whiteboard. Brandon, it's okay. You'll get a chance to go. You want to go first? You want to pick a letter? Let's see what Brandon guesses. J. Ooh, somebody's been paying attention. There we go. That's a good start. Good guess, Brandon. So our first letter is a J. Tyler, your turn. E. Oh, man. Aubrey, your turn. And Rylan, you'll go next. G. Let's see. That one you did not get, but it was close. So now I got an Oreo head. Rylan, what do you got? S. Okay. Well, that's a good one. All right, Brandon, back to you. What do you got? You. All right. You knew. See, you knew what the first word Pastor Ben is always thinking. All right, Tyler, what do you got? H. No H. So now I've got eyes. Well, give me a frowny face. That kind of looks like a Fu Manchu mustache, but we'll go with frowny face. All right, Aubrey, what do you got? Oh, that's a good one. All right, Rylan, your turn. What do you got? Write it down. I think I just got to write it and show me, bud. P, all right, Jesus walks. Careful, I almost said that too loud. All right, now I got a little chest there. That's okay, that was a good guess, though. Brandon, what do you got? W, oh man, he is on fire. Maybe I should actually write them like letters. All right, Tyler, what do you got? T, ooh. Aubrey, what do you got? V, no V, good guess. We'll give him an arm. Rylan? L, ooh, that's a good one. Brandon, what do you got? A, ooh, that's a good one too. All right, Tyler. I? No I. What do you got, Aubrey? Hey, good one. All right, Rylan. R, good one. All right, Brandon, you might be able to solve the puzzle on this one. N, that's good. Good job. Give him a round of applause. Great job. Jesus walks on water. And so that's our miracle today. And I want you to remember that kind of hangman helps us because it kind of reminds us that Jesus can do something awesome and amazing and he can maybe figure out the puzzle automatically. But sometimes we have to work at it. We got to get it letter by letter and piece by piece. And that doesn't make our accomplishments any smaller. It just reminds us that sometimes we got to be patient. We got to trust that we're going to get to the end goal that Jesus has for us, even if it takes us one letter at a time. And all of you did a great job. You all helped out, and you worked together, and you solved this puzzle together. And that's what being a disciple of Christ is all about, working together. And I want to thank you. You saved my life. I only lost my Fu Manchu and my two arms, so that's pretty good. Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these children and continue to remind them the value of their discipleship and their love in this world. Continue to bless their days and remind them as they get ready for school that you, God, are watching over them. You, God, will help them. Whether they are in school virtually, whether they are in school in person, you, God, will help them. Help their families and help us understand that. That even in the moments we don't see you, you are working for us and with us. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So for our message today, we're going to start with our whiteboards today, and I'm going to give you a simple question that I want you to respond to. Your family can list all these together. So your question today is, what spiritual gifts do you have to offer God? What gifts do you have to offer God? What spiritual gifts? Actually, one second, I'm going to grab one of these. I There you go, Mike. We got the teacher covered. What spiritual gift do you have to offer God? Take another 30 seconds and finish writing some of your gifts. All right, let's see those boards. What do you got? What are some of the spiritual gifts you have to offer God? Teaching, empathy, I like it. Technology, empathy, absolutely, especially right now. Technology is huge. Love, joy, perseverance, I like that, the actual gifts of the Spirit. Music, prayer, caring, faith, caring. What does Brandon got? Music, friendship, hugs, fellowship, love, praying for others, caring and helping. For those in need. It really does make a difference if you let people personally know about prayer. Jim, I'm sorry, I didn't see yours. Faith, absolutely. Mark is patience. Prayer. Ties, faith, service. Service, prayer chain, food delivery, those tangible things we can do. Hospitality, music, evangelism, prayer, friendship, music, helping others, going on mission trips, teaching, and love. And it's amazing when you hear all those gifts. We've only got, 40% of our congregation today. And we have a plethora of gifts that I hear being shared right now. And we could even add even more from the people who are not here. For me, I said prayer, preaching, and listening. How often we don't value that as a spiritual gift. But the ability to actually listen to people and make them feel heard is a spiritual gift. And I know my gifts that I don't have. I'm not musical. I know that in middle school I was one of 20 trumpets in the band and I wasn't in the top 19. So that's why I know that my spiritual gifts are not music. Not sorry, Angie. I wish I could help you, but I can't. So it's good to think about those. Because we offered a lot of spiritual gifts today, but I don't think I saw a single one of you that had walking on water as a spiritual gift. Did I? I didn't see a single person who had that gift. No one here has accomplished that feat. So when we think about this miracle that Jesus performed, if we can't walk on water, why are we listening to the story of this miracle? Why are we listening to do anything other than to pat Jesus on the back? After all, it's just another resume-building miracle for the Son of God. But the reason we listen to this miracle is because it reminds us to stay fixated on Jesus, even in the midst of a terrible storm, like the storms we are encountering today. Many storms that surprise us. In fact, I didn't mention our prayer concerns today. North Carolina was hit with an earthquake today, 5.0 on the magnitude scale. I didn't hear any destruction like that. But there are definitely storms in our midst, and The earthquake, I think, was the last thing many of us needed for apocalypse bingo in 2020 this year. But we've gotten a little bit of everything. And what I want you to realize is that focusing on Christ allows us to see that the power of the one who calms the storm will always be greater than the world that creates the storm. Listen to that again, because that could be a good mantra for this year. Focusing on Christ allows us to see that the power of the one who calms the storm will always be greater than the world that creates the storm. And I want you to think about that, because often we become downtrodden by what we can't do. I want you to think of the social workers and the mental health workers in our community who constantly feel like small fish in big ponds. Systems that always seem bigger and almost invincible when it comes to making a difference in a child's life. Now, that social worker can admit defeat and say, I don't have the power to walk on water or fix the system. The social worker can have the courage, or the social worker can have the faith and the courage to step out of the boat and be the difference for the child sitting in her office. They can dry the tears of the six-year-old who is crying and let them know that compassion is not limited to biology. And you don't have to walk on water to make a difference in somebody's life. Think of the 60-year-old grandmother who was laid off during the COVID pandemic and is using her free time now to learn to be a ballerina, of all things. Now, she wanted to be a dancer when she was growing up, but her parents forbid her from taking risks. You know, you got to get the degree that pays money. You have to do all the other things that add up. And guess what? That 60-year-old grandmother, she can't walk on water either. She won't be able to pirouette like a 16-year-old, and I guarantee you that when she's done with her session of being a ballerina, she's going to need plenty of ice and a good massage bath after every one of those sessions. I guarantee you that. But her 10-year-old granddaughter will see her after every one of those sessions and will get to see that you are never too old to start following your dreams. And that grandmother can't walk on water, can she? But she can teach her grandchildren an important lesson about the ability to follow your dreams. And I say stuff like that because we can spend our whole lives fixated on who we aren't and the problems that are bigger than us that we on our own are incapable to solve. Or we can choose a different path. We can have the courage to step out in faith and trust that stepping towards Christ with acts of compassion and love matter. Acts of compassion and love truly matter. And we should focus less on the number of steps we are taking and focus more on the idea that in some small way we are working towards bringing the kingdom of God to our world. We are helping God in that mission. Albert Einstein is often wrongly attributed with this quote, but I love this quote anyway, so I want to share it with you. Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it's stupid. If you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it's stupid. So let's stop judging ourselves as fish climbing trees. Let's stop judging ourselves by what we can't do. We can't walk on water. We can't cure systematic problems of poverty and racism and inequality that exist in our world by ourselves. We will never be miracle workers. But there's a lot that we can do. And that starts with believing that the person God created us to be can make a difference. God created each and every one of you to make a difference. We can be a compassionate ear to friends who are hurting. We can love a child into existence. We can be the positive change and role models in our community that we wish to see. We can believe in someone the world has already given up on. Actually, I want to take some time to show you a small example of what that could look like if we take the time to make a difference. So I'm going to ask a few of you to stand up at random. Angie, can you go ahead and stand up? Paula, can you go ahead and stand up? Amy, can you go ahead and stand up? Millie, can you go ahead and stand up? McKenna, can you go ahead and stand up? Aubrey, can you go ahead and stand up? Ross, can you go ahead and stand up? Mark, can you go ahead and stand up? All right. If you've noticed, I picked one out of three people. In the book that I'm reading today about the importance of listening in our society, Kate Murphy, she pointed out to this statistic that since 2016, one in three people have lost a good friend or a family member in friendships because of a political argument that they got into. One out of three. So if you look at our room right here, that's the number of people just since 2016, not since you've been alive. So I want you to think about if we started to work hard to change that dynamic in our world. What if we made the small differences that one in three people after the 2020 election actually restored a friendship that they had broken, actually restored a family relationship that was broken. You can go ahead and sit down now. Thank you all very much. But each one of you, you see how, you just look, if you try to be that one in three, how quickly that can spread. Angie's compassion could go to Paula, and Paula's could go to Millie, to McKenna, to Aubrey, to Ross, to Mark, and all of that can be shared. If we just focus on the kindness and the compassionate act in front of us, we don't have to walk on water to make a difference in this world. None of us do. Because guess what? This all comes down to on the day of our death, we are going to be held accountable for how each and every one of us lived on this earth. All of us are going to face that reckoning someday. And on that day, God isn't going to ask us, why didn't you part the Red Sea like Moses did? Or why didn't you slay the giant beast like David did? Or what about Jesus? Why didn't you walk on water like the Son of God did? And what God is going to ask us, we'll never see the questions that I just mentioned. What God is going to truly ask us is, what did you do with the spiritual gifts that I gave you? That list that you just wrote down for me, what did you do with those? How did you utilize them? Who did you help with those gifts? How many people did you help? Who did you truly show what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And when God asks that question to us on that day, I guarantee that none of us, when we approach our Lord and Savior, is going to want to start our answer out with an excuse, right? None of us are going to say, I can't, I wouldn't, I shouldn't. We are going to want to be able to give God something tangible, something real. Because we will want to show God that we had the courage to step out in faith, that we were willing to use every ounce of giftedness we had for building the kingdom of God. And even when it gets scary, even when it gets difficult, even when we come like Peter and we come shaking and we're scared of drowning in the water we have to remember that we can make a difference by listening to God, by being faithful in our footsteps and taking the opportunity to build the kingdom of God when we can. Because we don't want to be people as disciples of Christ who get bogged down by words like I can't or I won't or I shouldn't. We should be people that say, I can, I have an opportunity, and I will. And that's how the kingdom of God grows. Let us pray. Gracious God, I give you thanks for the gifts that I am surrounded with today. So many that we had an opportunity to list all of them. Help us to remind ourselves to not be bogged down by what we aren't. The church size, or the church finances, or whatever we don't have, help us to focus on what we do and how we can utilize that to build the kingdom of God. So let us go forth in faith and love, knowing that you have equipped us for this moment in time to serve you and to step out of the boat and to walk in faith. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Let's now listen to our closing hymn. Brief reminder before our benediction, remember next week we'll be worshiping on not on Sunday morning, but on Saturday night, 7:30 in the front parking lot. Please park on this side of the fellowship hall. We look forward to having you join us for that. If you have a friend or loved one who is expected to attend the worship service, please just let me know so I can have a good idea of our communion numbers for that night. For our benediction, I'm going to leave you with a from our epistle from Paul today, Romans 10:11-13, that Jean Ann read for us. I think it is a powerful reminder that God's love exists for everyone in this world. A scripture says, anyone in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord of all and richly blesses us as we call upon him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let us continue to call upon the name of the Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for joining us for this worship service. We are so delighted to have each of you with us. I'll now take time to dismiss everyone. Mark, you can go ahead. You got the seat in the back. Jim, you can go ahead as well. Swallow family, go ahead. Tim and Linda, go ahead. Caster family, go ahead. McKenna, Jacob, and Becky. Floyd and Delene, go ahead. Millie and Randy. Gene Ann, go ahead. Pasquinelli's, go ahead.